Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us tonight in-house and at your own house tonight watching the live stream. We're so glad you've decided to be a part of this worship together. Let's stand together. Let me pray with us. Father, we just come before you tonight. We want to give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you so much that the story of Christ involves us, that his birth so many years ago involves us today, because it's an ongoing story. And we praise you, Lord, for that. We just ask tonight that you be glorified, that you speak to our hearts as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid.
Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. It is good to see all of you tonight. It's good to be out and about. And I'm glad to be here. So last night we did our sort of family Christmas, just the three of us. I do know how many are our family. The three of us. And we gave Macon it was this sheet full of 50 little die-cast cars, you know what I mean? He almost didn't go to bed last night. We should have given it to him earlier in the day. I'd never even thought about that. Sort of first-time parent mistake, you know. But he loved it. And it was wonderful to see. When you've been in the dark for too long, a sudden bright light can make you uncomfortable. Have you ever gone to a movie in the afternoon and spent 2 hours in a dark room and then stepped out of the theater and all of a sudden it's so bright, it's blinding, it hurts your eyes, right? It happened to me the other day. I had a day off. I spent most of the morning with my not-yet-two-year-old inside the house. And when I went outside to get something, it almost hurt. When you've been in the dark for too long, light almost feels wrong. It's like laughing at a funeral. It's like, should we even be doing this? Why are we pretending everything is normal when clearly nothing about this year has been normal? We haven't gone to church most of the year for one reason or another, yet here we are on Christmas Eve, pretending to be these people. Our family doesn't always get along very well, but here we are sitting together, hoping to light a candle in the dark. Neither my wife nor I were sure we were ever going to be able to get married and have kids. We were both out of grad school. We were working full time. We came from small families. We didn't know if it would ever come together for us. Didn't date a whole lot. But when those things did come together, when we met and got married, it was so awkward for a time. You wouldn't believe this, but I used to be very awkward around children. Can you believe that? Don't raise your hands. I used to not know what to do at all. I never wanted to hold the baby because I never wanted to break something that was that valuable that didn't belong to me. And as far as changing diapers, I mean, forget it. I thought Pampers was a high-end clothing line that the Kardashians wore, okay? After being single for so long, the light of having a family was uncomfortable for a time. Until suddenly, it wasn't anymore. C.S. Lewis tries to imagine what it would be like for a visitor to walk into heaven and visit it for a day in his book, The Great Divorce. And he describes heaven as a place where the light is just a little bit too bright, piercing even, where the air is just a little bit too fresh and the grass is a little sharp underneath your feet. All just a little uncomfortable for those not used to it. You see, church can be an uncomfortable place for people sometimes. For those who are not used to coming to church. And heaven, honestly, might even feel a little bit uncomfortable for those of us who are used to living here in the regular light of earth.
And honestly, Christmas sometimes feels uncomfortable. I mean, who are these people running around hanging up lights on their houses and listening to Christmas music in November? Or buying matching pajamas to do picture time with the family? Who are these people? I'm one of them, but you know, otherwise, all the other people. Who are these people? Don't they realize how dark the year has been? Don't they know that this time really isn't any special than any of the other days in the year? Don't they know how weird they are living in this sort of bright cheeriness? When you've been in the dark for too long, light can be uncomfortable. Isaiah never bothered to mention that in his prophecy. This is Isaiah chapter 9. Beginning in verse 2, he says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government there will be, of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." See, Isaiah never bothered to mention that when that light dawned in the dark, that it would make people so uncomfortable. He didn't mention that he would offend so many of the people around him, that the light would shine so brightly that they would snuff it out before he was 34 years old. He never mentioned how the light wasn't as popular as everyone might have assumed, and even painful to others who, even those who actually believed him and had to watch that light burn out until it came on again. Like it or not, we are a people of darkness, and light makes us uncomfortable even when God sends it down. And Christ proved that. But here's the thing. When you go outside of the house after being inside for too long, it's painful for a moment. But if you stay there for just a little while, your eyes start to adjust. And it's energizing. And it's beautiful. And it's special. And when we've been in the dark for too long, a light is exactly the thing we need to bring us back to actual reality. To remind us that there is more out there than the four walls of our own vantage point. That it's so much bigger and brighter than we know. And it's a breath of fresh air and warm sunshine. And this Christmas might just feel a little bit wrong to you at the end of what might have been a dark year. But don't let that stop you from celebrating. Because honestly, this is the most appropriate time to bask in the light when it's dark all around us. And sometimes the best thing that you can do in a dark room is simply open a window. So if coming to church right now is a little bit uncomfortable to you, hang in there. Come back. Let your eyes adjust to the light a little bit. If you're married and you suddenly are raising a family and you're scared of all the responsibilities suddenly thrust upon you, hang in there. It's worth it, I promise. The light is good. And if Christmas cheer seems just a little bit cheesy to you, then indulge just a sip and let it stick on your tongue for a while and hold on to it and find that there is nothing better than a little light at the end of a long year. You see, the message of Christmas is that God loved us enough to ensure that no darkness was ever, ever permanent. If only we'd let in a little bit of the light. God, I thank you for loving us enough to send your Son here to earth. I thank you for the fascinating mystery of the idea of him being the Son of God and yet fully us. To experience our pain, our hurt, our sorrow, to understand it even to an extent. And yet to live this perfect life showing us the way to something better. God, sometimes we look around and we get very used to the dark. But I pray that the light will never be that foreign to us. Because God, in times like this, we look up to you, the light of the world, and we rejoice and we praise you and we tell you how much we love you because you gave the ultimate sacrifice. You sent your Son on the ultimate mission and you gave us hope. You allowed us to sing joy to the world because the darkness would never reign forever. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Every week in our church, we do something a little bit different than some other churches. It is kind of a Christian church tradition, but we like to take communion every week. Because we feel like it's a part of the service that allows us to slow down for a moment in a busy world and reflect on what God has done for us. And so as you walked in tonight, hopefully you saw a little sign out there that said, hey, grab one of these communion kits. And if you're comfortable, if you've been baptized and you feel like you can do that in a way that honors God, we're going to take a few moments to do that. Remember that when you're doing that, you're holding in your hands the story of God's love for human beings. That the story we tell in that moment is how God sent his Son down in a manger, but that Son ended up on a cross. And that paid our sins and unequivocally proved God's love for us. And when he came back to life at the end of it, we came to believe that we had this hope of coming back to life and living with him one day. And so I hope that you can take that in a worthy manner. I hope that you can reflect on what God has done. It is not wrong to hold side by side the manger on Christmas Eve and the cross and tomb of our salvation. And keeping those two things contrasted and helping us understand what God really did and telling that story so well. Let it change us and let our hearts reflect on the light today. Nice things about Christmas Eve service is it is this special little intimate time, but it's also brief. Brief so that we can go home and be with our families. And so today we really have just one more thing we want to do. We want to celebrate the light by holding up a light. This is not, we didn't invent this. Lots of churches do this. But we like to take a candle. You should have one in your seat or very close to you. Want to hold it up? Let me see. All right. We've got some gentlemen who are going to come by and light at least one candle for every family. And if you can pass it down to your other family members until all of our candles are lit. And we're going to use that as another symbol, another metaphor, help remind us of what God has done, of the light that's come into the world. And we're going to hold it up. We're going to sing Silent Night, I believe, right? That's the classic. Okay. You're going to lead, not me, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So do we have the guys coming around to do the lighters? Let's kind of begin that process. And after you get it, you may stand up.
Sing with me.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
At this point, we can file out the back, if you will. We're supposed to have a box out there to drop the candles in so that we can hopefully use them again next year. And simply reflect on what this night means, on the reason for all of it, and let our exit sort of be a quiet, prayerful time as we think about what God has done. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.